This morning we will be looking in Acts, the book of Acts, chapter 16, and just the 14th verse. And just the first phrase of that verse. And a certain woman named Lydia. Our Father, we thank you for the Word of God. We love this book. We love your Word. We love that you talk to us through it. Lord, I pray today that fresh joy will fill our hearts as we think back of all the grace that you've shown to us, all the ways in which you have managed our lives, even when we were your enemies. So we praise you and thank you this day. We certainly honor the memories of our mothers, and we are grateful for all of the godly women that have been a part of our lives. So today, Lord Jesus, bless the word of God to our hearts. And again, I ask you for all of our sister churches around us. We praise you for every true man of God. And we thank you for the power of the Holy Spirit that will minister to us this day. Dear Holy Spirit, we thank you for coming into our lives, birthing us into the Savior, making us new creatures in Christ Jesus. So today we honor and praise the Lord for our natural birth and for our spiritual birth. And Lord, we want to honor you as we would honor our, if our mothers were able to be here, we would honor them all today. But we certainly want to honor the birthing work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. So bless, I pray, the word of God today and encourage us, we ask, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, this morning, I've just been captivated by the little simple word and line of thought here that surrounds this word, certain. Certain. We read it. Verse 14 says, and a certain woman named Lydia. Well, going back to do my reading on this, I found out that it is a very simple phrase. In the Greek, it's tia. And it's an indefinite pronoun in the Greek. And it, you know, as you read it, you recognize that there's a randomness to it. It means kind of, you know, anyone. Everyone. So when you read this all throughout the, and you're going to be stuck on this now every single time you come, particularly in the book of Acts, and I want you to go all the way back to chapter 3. Go back to chapter 3. And I want to look at this word. I'm not going to look at every single instance of it, but I'm just intrigued by it, and the implications that this little word, certain, brings. Acts chapter 3, verse 1. Now, Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. A certain man. Just a someone of the many that were on their way. Who knows how many others might have joined him from day to day. He's just a certain man. But every time that we're going to read this and find this little word, this random individual that happened to be there in this moment of time, and while it seems random, you and I are going to immediately recognize there isn't anything random about this at all. And while all of these someones just happen to be a certain someone in a certain place, they were all part of the infinite plan of an almighty God. And they're not all positive. Some of these are very negative. Look at chapter 5, if you would. Chapter 5, verse 1. But, now that's going to tell us we got problems coming. Or we got a blessing coming. It's going to be one or the other. Something about that but, that it just goes one way or the other. In this case, it goes negative. But a certain man named Ananias, with Sapphira his wife, sold his possession and kept back part of the price. They not only, notice what it says, they kept back a part of the price, his wife also being privy to it, and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. So, just looking at what's going to happen here, you know it's going to be very negative. We know that Ananias and Sapphira lied to the Holy Ghost. And God first of all takes Ananias and then he takes Sapphira. But it's introduced with just this. Of all the other people that were giving, and remember, our Bible here in the New Testament, in the early days of the gospel, and after the day of Pentecost, the church was just alive. And in the fourth chapter, we have Barnabas, son of Consolation, who had a piece of land, sold that piece of land, and brought the entirety of that mount, whatever it was, and laid it down at the apostles' feet, so that those that were struggling with their finances or they could have something to eat, some money that might be needed for who knows what. But in contrast, a certain man, took it upon himself to lie to God and present the money as though it was the whole, just like Barnabas had done. Look at chapter 6, verse 9. So Stephen is a man full of the Holy Ghost as the first deacons are chosen out. Verse 8, we'll just say Stephen was full of faith and power and did great wonders and miracles among the people. Then there arose certain of the synagogue, which is called the synagogue of the Libertines, the Cyrenians and the Alexandrians, and them of Cilicia and of Asia, disputing with Stephen. Stephen just happens to be there, and he's telling what great things the Lord Jesus Christ has done, His might and His power, and God is using Stephen in a unique and a particular way. And just certain, well, it almost seemed random, these someones that are hearing what Stephen is saying, and they raise up an opposition. They're disputing. You're not right, Stephen. What you're telling is not true. So sometimes the seemingly random certain events that are coming along, not always positive. That continues in chapter 8. Look at chapter 8. Verse 9. Philip's had a great ministry there among the Samaritans. But here's another one. Is it going to be a positive? Is it going to be a negative? Well, it's going to be another negative. But there was a certain man named Simon, which before the same city used sorcery and bewitched the people of Samaria, giving out that himself was some great one. A certain man. He has a designation. Each of these have had a designation. A certain man was there, and he was lame at his feet and begging for alms. And then a certain man among the church who could have had been a great blessing if he had just been honest and told the truth. Certain men that seem to have been raised up for the point that eventually would lead to Stephen's death. And now a certain one who pretends himself to believe, but proves himself to be anything but a true believer. But thankfully, these are not all negative certains. Look there also in chapter 8 verse 35. Then Peter opened his mouth and began at the same scriptures and preached unto him Jesus. And as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water. Just, they're riding by here. Happens to be a little body of water. And the Ethiopian eunuch, why, he sees that body of water and he says, see, here's water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip saith, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Hallelujah. Chapter 9, verse 10. God has brought Saul to himself, and verse 9 says, or rather verse 10, and there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias. It just so happened to be there. Just all of these have been part of God's plan. How do I know that? Because it's recorded in the book. God wanted these certain somebodies, these certain moments, to be placed as a record in the Word of God. And God had just a certain disciple named Ananias that God was going to talk to, that He was going to use to bring some eyesight back to Saul of Tarsus, who had been blinded by his sin and now providentially blinded till he would receive a fresh spiritual sight. Oh, but we're not done in this chapter. Look at verse 33. And there he found a certain man named Aeneas, which had kept his bed 8 years and was sick of the palsy. And Peter said to Aeneas, Jesus Christ maketh thee whole. Arise, make thy bed. And he arose immediately. But we're not done there. Look at verse 36. Now there was at Joppa a certain disciple named Tabitha, which by interpretation is called Dorcas. This woman was full of good works and alms deeds, which she did. All of this seems by this one little Greek word, tia, certain, just somebody, someone, that is in the plan of Almighty God to be at a certain place at a certain time, a certain body of water at a certain moment. God orchestrating the movement of a chariot for the moment in which is a body of water for the Ethiopian eunuch says, well, there's water. What's hindering me from being baptized? Well, wow, there's nothing. Depends on what you believe. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Well, hallelujah. You can be baptized in that certain body of water that God had just at that right, just at that moment. What we see here in this little word, certain, is that God was certainly orchestrating events. Look at chapter 10, verse 1. There was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of the band called the Italian band, a devout man, believed in God. God gives him a vision, tells him just who to look for and where to find him. Sends for Peter. Peter comes. He has a certain vessel. And then certain brethren. Now all you can find it all in this passage of Scripture. These little words, certain. Tia. Just some plan of Almighty God. Well, I think I'm finally ready to go back to chapter 16. Come back with me back to chapter 16. And as we look at this verse of Scripture in Acts chapter 16 and verse 14, and a certain woman named Lydia. As we've read through all of this, we know who is moving in all of these events. Everything that we're reading of history in these verses, where it just seems that random people are in a random place at a random moment in time. But we recognize the sovereign, almighty God moving in every single moment. This was a certain providence that there was a certain woman named Lydia. Now I want you to think about this. Think about all of the things that God was setting in motion to bring to this moment for a certain woman named Lydia. Paul and Barnabas had gone on their first missionary journey. They had come back. They had been used of God to help settle the dispute there at Antioch, going to Jerusalem. They've come back. They've encouraged the church at Antioch with the good news. You don't have to live by the law. Just care for the moral confidences of the walk in that moral truth. And Paul says, well, let's go back to the churches that we had seen that's been established where we previously went. And Barnabas says, great idea. Let's take John Mark again. Absolutely not. I'm not taking him back. He didn't stick with us. He's better now. I don't really think so. And the contention between them divided them. Well, that certainly cannot be of God. Well, God had a certain plan to put together Paul and Silas. Now, I say a certain plan because, you know, I went back to chapter 4 and I read about Barnabas where he's introduced. He is a Levite from the city, from the island of Cyprus. That's where he's from. Now, I did a little more history about Cyprus, and Cyprus, I don't remember how the length of time long before the New Testament that the Romans had come in and claimed Cyprus. But there's no indication, there's nothing stated that Barnabas was a Roman citizen. Not every place that was taken over by Rome became a place that was constituted a provincial town like Saul of Tarsus. Tarsus was a provincial location. Those born there then were Roman citizens by birth. Thus, Paul, Saul, was a Roman by birth. So God is letting this division between these two so that somebody else can be added in to become accompanied with Paul. What's his name? Silas. You remember, it's going to become in the rest of this chapter, the Bible is going to say that Paul and Silas were whipped, remember? And the next day, after the jailer had come to Christ, his household had come to Christ. By the way, he's a certain jailer. that they say, okay, now you guys can go. And he says, hold on here. You have beaten us, Roman citizens. That means Silas is also a Roman citizen with Paul. So all of these events are moving to take place to put two men together that both of which would be Roman citizens that could be beaten there, that they could raise up this defense that they shouldn't have been beaten, being Roman citizens. But I'm just tying all this together because all of this is not so random after all. And you and I know that Paul and Silas went to all those cities where he and Barnabas, Paul and Barnabas had previously gone to. But then they wanted to branch out. And so they started here in the southern part of what is the Galatians and starts coming up through central Turkey, but God says, no, you can't stop here, you can't stop here, you can't stop here, and you can't preach here, and you can't give the gospel here. Well, so they come all the way to the Aegean Sea. Well, where do we go from here? And all of a sudden, Paul has a vision in the night of a man from Macedonia saying, come over and help us. They land there in Macedonia. No Jewish synagogue here. And not a Roman city. So they make their way to the Roman city of Philippi. And there, well, who'd have thunk it? A certain woman named Lydia. All of these providences, we recognize there's the movement of all of this is God. And Luke records this. He's recording this for us so that you and I can watch. We step back and we see God orchestrating and moving all of these events to bring certain people at a certain moment of time to hear certain men with a certain message that certainly would set them free. And such is the case with Lydia. God has been moving all of these events. Those are the providences from the outside. But now there's providences on the inside. The Bible says here in verse 14, and a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple, of the city of Thyatira, which worshipped God, heard us, whose heart the Lord opened, that she attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul. We've chronicled here all of these movements of God in men and places and time, because all of this was timing, remember? As Paul and Silas are marching their way across Turkey, and God keeps saying, well, we wanted to go to Bithynia. No, you can't go there. We wanted to go here. Well, you can't go there either. Mysia, no, you can't go there either. You can't speak the God. I don't want you here in Asia. God is moving them in time. There's a timing to all of this to get them to just the right place, to just the right time, because this woman, Lydia, of Thyatira, meaning that's where she's from. She's a seller of purple. What is she doing in Philippi, or a Roman city? She's selling purple material. All of it's in the timing of God. But there's also something, all that movement is from the outside, but there's been also a movement from the inside. We don't know whether Lydia was a Jewess or not. She may have been a Gentile woman. I don't know. We know she's the first convert. Everybody recognizes she's the first convert in Europe. But God had already begun to work in her heart. She's come in contact with the Word of God somewhere. She is, by her very description, she worshiped God. And she gathered with God's people. There were some people besides herself that gathered by the river to spend the Sabbath in prayer. So God had been orchestrating things from the outside, but we also see God had been orchestrating some things on the inside. Can we call it a framework? There was some framework about God, His Word, so that she could be described as a worshiper of, yes, the one true and living Jehovah God. So when Paul comes with a message, she had already heard, obviously she had already heard about the promise of a Messiah. So there is a framework built. That's why it's so important for us, you know, to have Sunday school. We long to have children here, don't we? It's important to give those children. So I'm wanting to tie all this together for you today, because this is also part of your history. And you, can you imagine now the randomness of us that are gathered here today? That each one of us at a certain time came across certain other people that have brought us in one little handful of group here to love God and to worship God. And it goes back, in many of our cases, to a mother or a grandmother or an aunt or a neighbor lady. There's somebody who was telling us about God. And they may not even have been able to give us a right or a clear or perfect picture about who God is or who Jesus Christ is. But God allowed a little bit of framework by which one day He would eventually bring you to repentance and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. There were all these providences from the outside, but there were providential things working on the inside. Above all, she was a worshiper of God. Her name, Lydia, seems to be Greek in origin, a Jewess, a proselyte. One thing is for certain. Grace was preparing her for grace. God in His grace was already working and moving to bring her to the place where the saving grace of the Lord Jesus Christ would be presented to her. And all of that little bit of framework, whatever it was, suddenly came to a realization. God has sent His Son. And God's Son had died on Calvary's cross. And God's Son had paid the price of my sin. And she attended. Now look at all of these. We see that grace was preparing all of these that we've looked at through the Scripture. He was preparing them for grace. As He's prepared you. There was a certain purpose that God had. He had moved all of these. The timing was just right for this woman of Thyatira to be where she needed to be, to hear the Word of God and to be saved by God's grace. The same thing has happened in your life. You can see mirrored. Here you read this, and then you say, yeah, but I remember how God moved here and here and here, and by this person and this person and this person. And when the Bible here says that the Lord opened her heart, it is a great Greek word. I mean, it means with great intensity to open it up wide. He did a great job in opening up her heart. Her heart is now filled with love for Christ, love for God, love for the Word. It is this revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ as the Messiah, as the one who had paid the debt of her sin. And she immediately, the scripture says, she attended. Meaning that she took heed. It is devotion of thought. It is devotion of effort. So this certain woman, on a certain day, found a very certain Savior who opened up her heart, and she attended all the things that Paul had spoken. And when she was baptized and her household, she besought us in verse 15, it says, if ye have judged, here's her only words. Look at her words. What other words do you have coming out of the mouth of Lydia? If ye have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and abide there. That those words have come out of a heart that's been opened, just opened wide up. It is a very positive declaration. She presented herself. The Bible says here she heard and she was immediately baptized. She presented herself for baptism. It was a positive declaration. And not only did it impact her, her conversion impacted her entire household. A whole household. All of them were baptized. Meaning, all of them, just as Lydia had had her heart opened, their hearts had been opened. The apostles would never have consented to baptizing any of that household if there wasn't immediate evidence that they had truly believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. So God had a definite, certain plan. And that is her influence. Now someone had taught Lydia, if she's a Jewess or if she's a Greek, either way, she had been taught to know the one true and living God named Jehovah. We would imagine that the truth that she had believed in relation to who God is, just as we read in the Psalms, we read that to a wonderful psalm by David as we opened the service here today. And David is just extolling the greatness, the goodness, the might, the power, the glory of God. You can imagine that Lydia, with her servants, her household, whoever it was that was working with her, she had also testified to them of the God that she believed. And she wasn't somebody that was just going to have it in her head. She went, as the scripture tells us, verse 13 tells us, and on the Sabbath, we went out of the city by a riverside where prayer was wont to be made. And we sat down and spake unto the women which resorted thither. And it just so happened, a certain woman named Lydia was there. God opened her heart. So we recognize in this that the grace that has come to all of us has come by certain means. That's why we have Sunday schools. That's why we preach. That's why we teach. That's why books are written and we try to put things in your hand to encourage you to grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. She had done the same. And when God opened her heart, her opened heart led to the households heart being opened as well. And they were all baptized. And she could immediately say to Paul and Silas and Timothy and probably Luke, I've got a substantial place here for all of you to stay with me. And she constrained them. And that's a very strong word. It means to apply force. It's the same word that the two on the road to Emmaus, you remember the Lord Jesus is walking along on the day of his resurrection. And he was taking them through the scriptures. And they were about to walk past where they were going. And they said, well, hey, this is where we're going in. And he acted like he would keep on going. No, you've got to come with us. Constrained. I mean, it's a word of force. You can see them grabbing hold of him and pulling the Lord Jesus. No, you need to come with us. Same word. She constrained them. Such was the work of the grace of God that was done in Lydia. And I say all of that, the whole reason to look at all of this here this morning, of these certain people, events, times, and places, is for you today to look back over the certain people, times, places that God, you had no idea God was moving in all of these arrangements. God making all of these arrangements to bring you to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And to today, He is still orchestrating events in your lives. Because the other side of this is Paul and Silas, they're simply walking and trying to be obedient to God, and they are the certain ones brought in with a certain message to see a certain woman named Lydia come to Christ. God is working things on the outside of you, and God is working on things inside of you. We step back from this and we say, what a great, infinite God. The biologists, the zoologists study all of these things that are in this world, and they marvel at how animals and plants move throughout this earth, reproduce. You have people who study butterflies for years. All kinds of little creatures in the sea. And as we sang in that hymn, Christless eyes, there's something that lives in every hue that Christless eyes have never seen. But you see it. Because there has been an orchestrating, infinite, eternal God moving in your life. And if God has done all of that, you can look back over a history and God has done all of these things, these people and moments to bring you to this day right now. If you can see that, can you not also trust and know that whatever yet is coming, you and others, this earth and this world and circumstances you can't imagine are all moving with divine purpose. For as what Brother David said on Wednesday night, for that's left. You still have, he's the God of what's left. This just helps us to see the wonderful sovereign work of God and to say to him, Lord, then let me be like a Paul and Silas. Let me be like a Lydia. Take whatever's in my hand, Lord, that let me use it for your glory. Take my life and guide in every step. And Lord, let me be a part. Here's the glory. You're not just the recipient of this. God is on the sending end through you as well. Where would God send you? How would God use you? In somebody else's life. Maybe there's a certain Lydia. Maybe there's a certain man lame from his mother's womb. There's somebody that God has planned for you to be instrumental in their life. That's glorious. So, God deliver us from selfishness. And let us bow to the Lord to say, Lord, I'm your servant. Move events and people in my life however you want. Fill me with the power of the Holy Spirit as we've been looking at Galatians. To do what you want me to do. I don't want to just fall into your plan by accident. I want to be a part of your plan on purpose. Heavenly Father, I thank you that each one of us can look back over our journey, even when we were lost. And as Christians, as those that have been bought by your own blood, our failures have been many. And Lord, we don't want to fumble through what yet remains. We want to be a part of your purpose and plan. In Jesus' name, help us. Help us. I pray this mercy. Oh Lord, give us grace. That we might receive more grace. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Number 221 is where I want us to sing all three verses. Hymn number 221. You can stand with me as we sing. this great little psalm of thanks. Some thank the Lord for friends and home, for mercy sure and sweet. But I will praise Him for His grace. In prayer I would repeat, thank You, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank You, Lord, for making me whole. Thank You, Lord, for giving to me Thy great salvation so rich and free. Some thank Him for the flowers that grow, some for the stars that shine. My heart is filled with joy and praise because I know He's mine. Thank You, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank You, Lord, for making me whole. Thank You, Lord, for giving to me Thy great salvation, so rich and free. I trust in Him from day to day. I prove His saving grace. I'll sing this song of praise to Him until I see His face. Thank You, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank You, Lord, for making me whole. Thank You, Lord, for giving to me Thy great salvation, so rich and free.